There was a young woman who had just graduated from Bible college, and she came forward after a church service to have the pastor pray for her. She told him that she was going to go onto the mission field, which he thought a wonderful idea. And the pastor asked where she was planning to go. She said, "I'm going to go to a tribe of headhunters on a small island off the coast of Indonesia." Now the pastor took one look at this petite girl in front of him and thought, "This doesn't sound like a great idea." He said, "Of all the places, are you really sure that you want to go there?" Now her name was Margaret Stringer. The year was 1964. She said, "Pastor, don't even bother trying to talk me out of it." She said that there were once missionaries there, but they've all left now because they were being killed and eaten. There were also oil workers there, she said, but they also have pulled out because they were being eaten too. And now, well, there is no one there to tell them about Jesus. And I feel that God is calling me to go. Her parents, who were also there at the service, made their way down the aisle. They said, "Pastor, would you please try to talk some sense into our daughter?" You see, when you're trusting God to lead you somewhere, you know, sometimes it'll feel as though circumstances couldn't be worse. And you can't always expect everyone to cheer you on because they're going to be so focused on the circumstances that they will want to tell you why you shouldn't go. The pastor prayed mainly for protection, because the thought of what that tribe of people might do to a helpless girl like her was just a horrendous thought. A helicopter pilot was hired who had been a former oil worker, so he knew the area well, and he agreed to fly her into the area. But he said that he wouldn't land on the ground because he had seen those tribespeople, those headhunters, throw their spears at helicopter blades before. And so he told her that if he was to take her, well, then she would have to rappel down 150 feet of rope. Now, she had never rappelled down anything, but she agreed. When the helicopter reached the drop spot, the pilot turned around to her and said, "I will be back in 60 days to pick you up." He then started to get a little choked up and said, "But I am begging you, please don't go. You can't imagine what those people are going to do to you. I'll be back in 60 days. But I don't expect you back." The young lady looked at him and said, "I don't have to come back, but I do have to go." And with that, she then rappelled down the rope and the helicopter flew away. When that pilot returned 60 days later, there she was, at the same spot he had left her, and with a large group of tribespeople who had put their faith in Jesus. Now, what no one could have known was that the tribe where she was dropped only ate men. They wouldn't eat women. In fact, they even had, this particular tribe, had a centuries-old legend that one day a female god would appear from the skies. And they assumed she was the one. Now she, of course, said, no. But God did send me. And I'm here to point you to the true and the living God. Margaret Stringer continued to serve as a missionary to unreached tribes around Indonesia for another 40 years. Hers is certainly an extraordinary story that might sort of leave us maybe with a mixture of admiration and curiosity. Admiration because of her courage. Curiosity because of the question that's likely raised in all of us. How do you know when the Holy Spirit is leading and you should follow? I mean, how can you be so sure that it's really the Spirit's voice you're hearing and not just some bad Chinese food you ate the night before? Or don't you wish that when you had a big decision to make and your desire is to follow God's will, that he would make things clearer? You know, I think a lot of times we would like God to give us like a spotlight faith. But he normally, what he gives us is a flashlight faith. You see, we want a spotlight to see into the future, to illuminate this path, where it leads and how it ends. But God typically gives us just a flashlight faith, able to see just far enough to take that next step. Now, I think it's because if God were to map every step we should take, plotting the best and the quickest route throughout life, you know, we would likely take those step-by-step directions and say, it's okay, God. I can take it from here. And so he will usually lead us step by step. Because I really do think that what God enjoys the most is not the destination, but it is the journey. It's the trust that we develop in him along the way, deepening our relationship with him. And as we do, the promise of Scripture is that he will lead us if we will follow. David writes this in Psalm 23, he guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. As our good shepherd, God doesn't just provide for us, he leads us. He doesn't just correct us, he guides us. And he has commissioned his Holy Spirit to navigate us through the winding paths we may take in life. There's probably no greater example of this than when God led the Israelites out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, into the wilderness. Up until that last plague dropped in Egypt, and Pharaoh finally said, let the people go. You know, most of them had never even left the city limits, let alone crossed the border. I mean, they were novice travelers. And on their own, they stood no chance at survival. And for that reason, in Exodus 13:21, it says, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire. Now, if you're curious, these are both really the same pillar, because when it says a cloud, don't think of like a weather cloud, but this was more of a cloud of smoke, a smoke cloud, the result of fire. And God consistently used these images of smoke and fire to represent his power and his presence throughout the Old Testament. When God first appeared to Moses, you might remember, he did so in the form of a burning bush. Of course, Israel, when they were led by the pillars of smoke and fire to the base of Mount Sinai, where they would receive the law, it says in Exodus 19:18 that Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. And when the people had finished constructing the tabernacle that God had instructed them to build, that fiery cloud of smoke then descended down on it, we're told, and filled it. In Exodus 40, verse 36, it describes the navigational system they were relying on. It says, whenever the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out on their journey following it. But if the cloud did not rise, they remained where they were until it lifted. When guiding his people through the wilderness, God didn't give them a map. He gave them something better: himself. Every day, the question of what they would do and where they would go came down to just one question: where is God's presence leading? And centuries later, the prophet Isaiah put a name to this force within the smoke and fire. In Isaiah 63, he says, "Where is he who brought them through the sea with a shepherd of his flock? Where is he who set his Holy Spirit among them? Who sent his glorious arm of power to be at Moses' right hand? Who divided the waters before them to gain for himself everlasting renown? Who led them through the depths? Like a horse in open country, they did not stumble. Like cattle that go down to the plain, they were given rest by the Spirit of the Lord. This is how you guided your people," it says. You see, it was the Holy Spirit who had led Israel. It was him who had been in the cloud and the fire. And the one who guided God's people then, well, is the same one who guides us now. In the New Testament, Jesus says this, John 16, verse 13, that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Did you know that we are made to hear from God? And his Spirit within us makes it possible. You see, in the Old Testament, God's Spirit dwelled in the tabernacle, later the temple. But now, because of our salvation and our faith in Jesus, well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Don't you know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" And if that's true, well, then why do we sometimes fail to detect him? Or how can we learn to follow him? In your notes, the Holy Spirit guides us by his verse and his voice. The verse and his voice. The primary way the Holy Spirit speaks to us is through his word or scripture because, well, he inspired it. I love Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." You see, being led by the Spirit won't come by just following our feelings or following maybe an online influencer or maybe it's a celebrity. We don't need to open our social media feeds. We just need to open our Bibles. His will is found in his word. This is why the best and the most important habit that we can really develop in our lives is regularly, consistently spending time in Scripture, saturating ourselves with God's character, with his life instructions, with the goal of becoming more like Christ. It is true that we serve a very creative God, and he may sometimes choose to get our attention or speak to us in very creative ways. But those occasions will really always be the exception to the norm, because God wants the norm of our life to be a pattern of obedience to what he's already spoken through Scripture. So much so that I would say, just my opinion, that there may even be times when maybe we're like waiting to hear from the Lord, hoping for like a big, giant, obvious sign or an audible voice, and yet God will seem silent. And it may be because he has already so clearly spoken on the subject through Scripture. You see, he wants us to study and meditate his word because, as you all probably know, you know, we live in a crazy world filled with all sorts of false realities, fake saviors. And God wants us to recognize the counterfeits. Do you know how people recognize counterfeit bills? The people in law enforcement who have become experts at recognizing counterfeit money, you know, they don't actually spend a whole lot of time studying a bunch of forgeries. Instead, they're mainly trained by studying the real thing. Because there's infinite ways to make a fake. There's only one way to make the real thing. And God wants our lives to be so anchored in the truth of his word that we will spot and experience the real thing, so that we can know the way, the truth, the life as Jesus claims himself to be. And so by knowing the word of God, we're able to learn the will of God. When it came to discerning God's will, Paul had this to say in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." That word "transform" in the Greek is where we get the word metamorphosis, indicating that we undergo a transformational change when our mind begins to be renewed by Scripture. When we replace the lies of the enemy Maybe the lies of our past, the lies of this world with the truth of God's word. The world says your value depends on your net worth. Scripture says, no, you matter to God because he made you, for we are all God's masterpiece. The world says, do what you want, or maybe live your own truth. Scripture says there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. The world will say, if there is a God, well, then he certainly doesn't have much time for us or even care. And Scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The Spirit will guide us by his verse, his word, allowing us to discern God's will by learning what he thinks. And in your notes, saturating ourselves in Scripture is also important because we know this: God never contradicts himself. Meaning that if we sense God telling us to do something that is opposed to what he's already told us in his word, that's not God. If a buddy says, hey, I feel like God's leading me to leave my wife for a woman in the office. Nope. That's your midlife crisis talking. That's not God. If someone says, hey, we're not married, but God's told us that we will be, so we've started sleeping together. Nope. That's your hormones talking. That's not God. You see, God doesn't contradict himself because he doesn't make mistakes. It's impossible for him to lie, and he's never wrong. There's never going to come a point at which God will say, oh, I got to correct something I said before. I made a mistake. So now I'm telling you differently. Nope, that's not God. In fact, you know, when we feel like we might be hearing from God, one of the great ways to discern that is to make sure that what we are hearing is also affirmed or supported in Scripture. The Holy Spirit guides us with his verse, teaching us to be obedient to God's ways, which is to become the norm of our life. Now, the exception to the norm is when God may additionally want to lead us maybe to a certain place, or maybe it's a person, or to do a specific thing, setting up what I would call a divine appointment. And this is when circumstances just happen to align, you know, in just the right way, at just the right time, that for the Christian, God's involvement and his coordination is just impossible to ignore. Because God is always actively working in the world and in our lives, well, the question really isn't if God speaks through his Spirit, but are we listening? There was a gentleman who went to the doctor for his annual physical exam, and after the doctor had examined him, he asked, is there anything else you would like to discuss today? And the man thought for a moment. He said, well, yes, as a matter of fact, there is. He said, my wife has gotten so hard of hearing that she very often has trouble hearing me, and she refuses to come in and get her hearing checked. Is there anything that you might recommend I do to help? The doctor thought. He then said, well, I have an idea. The next time you see her and she's not looking at you, say something to her and see if she hears you. Now, if she doesn't, then see how close you have to get before she does hear you. Let me know what happens. So the man went home. He walked into the living room where he saw his wife with her back to him at the kitchen counter preparing dinner. And so he stood at the far end of the living room. And he asked in a reasonable voice, what's for dinner tonight, honey? No response, as usual. She didn't hear him. So he then took a few steps closer. And he said again, what's for dinner tonight, honey? She just continued cutting up the vegetables, oblivious that he was even in the room. And so once again, he took a few steps closer. He asked a third time, what's for dinner tonight, honey? Nothing. Now, he knew that her hearing had been getting progressively worse over the years, but he hadn't been aware that it had actually gotten this bad. And so finally, he got just a couple steps behind her and then asked again, what's for dinner tonight, honey? At this point, she finally turned around to face him and said, for the fourth time, beef stew. You know, sometimes we just assume maybe that God isn't speaking. But could it be that the real problem is that we just aren't hearing? Maybe it's hard to hear his voice over the other competing voices in our life. You see, society's voice is always loud. And God's voice is often heard as a whisper. Meaning that we will have to choose ahead of time whose voice we're listening for. Or maybe whose voice has authority in our life. Again, Paul spoke of this in that Romans 12:2 passage. He assures us that God has a will for us and that it is good and pleasing and perfect. And to know it, we must not copy the behaviors and customs of this world. And so in order to hear when the Spirit speaks, well, we will have to prioritize God's ways over culture's ways. God doesn't tell us to fit in. He asks us to stand out. And you know, not just for the sake of being different, but to become holy, to be transformed into the person that God created and desires us to be. While following the pillars of the smoke and the fire, God told his people in Exodus, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. Do God's ways supersede culture's ways? Or maybe even our own understanding? Does his voice outrank all the others? If you're taking notes, here's another one. Hearing the Spirit speak will also require us to be open and ready to follow. Romans 8:14 says, the true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. You know, I think that if we're like really honest with ourselves, we'd have to admit that sometimes we either don't hear or maybe we ignore the voice of the Spirit because we'd rather not be led to where it doesn't feel desirous to go. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul's second missionary journey that you can find in Acts chapter 16. Being a very driven, like a type A personality, I'd imagine that Paul had the whole trip planned out. He likely had plotted each stop on a map, had all the travel times figured out, had the whole itinerary committed to memory. And on the first leg of his journey, things couldn't have gone any better. I mean, people were giving their lives to Jesus. The churches that they visited were growing. They were flourishing. And at that point, there couldn't have been any doubt in Paul's mind that he was aligned with God's will. But then we're told that the Holy Spirit made a sudden change to the travel plans. In Acts 16:6, it says, next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. And then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. And so instead, they went through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. Now listen, this is one where I wish we got more of the story. I mean, I would love to know of the events that led them to feel roadblocked and rerouted by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we may even experience something similar. When God closes a door and we don't know why, we don't know whether maybe the timing was bad or that thing for us was bad or maybe God had something better in mind, but because that door was closed, there seemed to be another door that was open. Or an opportunity. Such was the case here. And God showed Paul an open door in a rather strange way. Continuing in verse 9, that night Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And so he says, so we decided to leave for Macedonia at once. Having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. Now hang on to that last verse for just a moment because we're going to circle back to it. But first, I want to skip ahead just to the result because the Holy Spirit seemed to send them in this new direction. And as they went, their first stop in Macedonia was the city of Philippi. And it was there that they were stripped naked by an angry mob, severely beaten, and thrown in jail. And the Bible doesn't quite say it, but I have to imagine that Paul then sat in that jail cell thinking, I must have heard wrong, because this couldn't possibly be what God had in mind. Well, it was, in fact, what God had in mind, because he was setting up a divine appointment between Paul and the jailer, who after some wild circumstances will give his life to Jesus and his whole household will then be saved. The point being that we have to remain open and ready to follow no matter what's asked or what circumstances may look like. Because you know, a lot of times our obedience to God won't look like immediate success. And what we think to be a final outcome is not at all the end of the story. God's still writing, and we have to follow. Another way that we can hear when the Spirit speaks is by seeking the counsel of other believers. The Quakers had this practice to discern the will of God that they very appropriately named a Quaker circle. And this is when someone had a major decision to make, and if they were maybe unsure of where God was leading, or maybe they had an idea, and they wanted to be sure that they were hearing God correctly, what they would do is they would pull together a group, a circle of godly people who would sit around them and then just ask them a whole bunch of questions, just simply to help them discern God's will. This is why the container of the Quaker oatmeal has a lid on it in form of, that's not true actually, that's, but it sounded really good, didn't it? You can tell people that story later. But the Quaker circle is true. It was something that they really practiced because the wisdom of other believers also seeking God's direction in their life is able to point where God may be speaking to us. Or maybe it's if we're hearing him correctly. Now, when we circle back to Paul's vision in Acts chapter 16, I want you to notice, did you notice that Paul sort of, he made a Quaker circle of his own? You see, this was Paul's vision, but he then said, we decided. Referring to the companions that he had traveling with him, we don't know them all, but we know at the very least, he had Silas and Timothy and Luke, all godly guys, that Paul likely circled up the next morning and said, guys, I've got to share with you my dream. I think that maybe God is speaking, but I'm going to need your counsel on this one. And notice then Paul's subtle word choice in here. He says, they concluded, but that doesn't mean that they were certain. Meaning that the best they could tell probably, after filtering this through scripture, after praying and considering all the circumstances, it seemed to them that this is where the Spirit was leading. And I think that had they been wrong, that they likely figured God would still be able to steer them just where they needed to be. You see, you can write this down too as the worship team comes forward. That God's biggest concern is who we are becoming, not necessarily where we're going. As many in here can probably attest, who we're becoming very often gets shaped along the way. And if we are desiring of God and our intentions are good and we're sincerely trying to follow him, I believe that God, through his Spirit, has this way of steering us to exactly where we need to be, or he'll make things clearer along the way. Sometimes I think of the way that the Spirit leads a bit like maybe like a navigational system. You know, when the destination gets set in the GPS of the car, or maybe it's an app on your phone, you're given a direct route to take, even with an estimated time of arrival. And if you happen to accidentally miss a turn, or maybe you take a wrong turn, or maybe you assume to know a bit of a shortcut, and for a little while, you know, you just sort of make your own way, Well, the navigation doesn't then just abandon the destination. What it does is it recalculates the route based on where you are and where you're supposed to be going. And so the route gets changed a bit, and it may then take a little bit more time. You might even experience some less than ideal conditions, maybe some slower speeds, maybe you hit some road construction, maybe some rougher roads, but the destination stays the same, even though our experience in getting there might change a bit along the way. You see, our wrong turns, or maybe it's even our detours, don't necessarily change God's direction, but it might change our experience in getting there. But don't miss the getting there, because I believe it's the part that God enjoys the most as we develop our trust in Him and grow closer in relationship, learning to be led more and more by the promptings of His Spirit. And when we desire to be close to Him, honor Him with the choices that we make, I would say this, that it's really tough to get outside of His will. Because the Holy Spirit has this way of getting us to exactly where we need to go, or He makes things clear along the way. Pray with me, Lord. God, we thank You that You lead. God, sometimes we don't always realize it. Sometimes we have trouble determining it. And so, Lord, I again pray for those here who are in need, who are unclear, who are hurting, who are desperate. Lord, would You, Spirit, lead and guide as only it can. Lord, we thank You that through a relationship with our Savior Jesus, that God, Your Spirit fills our life. And we can hear from You. Help us to develop those ears, God. Would You make our hearts sensitive to Your leading, we pray. In Your name, amen.